on November 30th.
We can all see there's something between you and Derek. Why do you keep fighting it?
It's not like Derek's just hanging out with us for fun. He's doing his job.
Tis the season.
Let's go, Chiefs!
To let fate call the plays.
Trust me on this one.
Guys, we kind of need the field now.
Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, premieres Saturday, November 30th at 8. Part of Countdown to Christmas, only on Hallmark Channel.
Welcome into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie, but the only rule of the podcast is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. For the first time ever, we are going to break our rule, and we are going to watch a movie that is currently rated a 6.5 on IMDb, but I think you guys will understand why we made an exception. We are about to review Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story on Hallmark. And Rob, this is an honor. Number one, you're doing the pod. You never do the podcast.
I'm a nice 50-50 guy now.
You're like Zion Williamson. That's who you are. When you show up, it's great production. Yeah. But you don't show up nearly enough.
No, call me during the playoffs. I'm a nice 3-and-D playoff guy.
And we also have one of the stars of a Holiday Touchdown. We have Alex Gold in here, where your car and you also seen in this film.
How about that? No, it's good to be on the podcast. I know we've been trying to make this happen for a while, and so I'm glad this is the first time I'm on your podcast. It happened to be a movie in which I'm in. I appreciate it. It was pretty wild how it all came together, just getting in the movie, because it started as a joke, honestly. We all saw the announcement. They sent out that press release in June or May or whatever, and Cody and I were talking about it, and we gave Cody a hard time, because of course his first reaction was like, how do I get in it? Typical Cody fashion. So we joke, we gave him a hard time. And then we decided as a show to all apply for it. So we sent in headshots, and they basically, they had weird questions. They're like, do you know how to rollerblade and things like that? Which I don't, by the way. I don't know if either of you know how to rollerblade. Nope. It's like, nope, haven't done that.
I'm betting that came up in that scene later at Crown Center.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm trying to think now where that would come up.
There was not actual ice there. If you notice, they shot it from chest up, because there was not actually ice. So I was like, oh, well, then I'm out, if that's really what they're looking for. Cody put yes, even though he admitted that he doesn't know how to do it. So he still put yes. But they didn't pick him or Drew, I guess. And so I got an email and a call. And then I was out in Independence for one day. And it was 95 degrees. And they made sure, they told everybody to wear, jeans, sweater. I had a pea coat on. We were sweating, man. It was hot. It was hot out there, and yeah, I got in for a second and a half, maybe. The car was in longer. The Mazda made it in.
So we are reviewing a Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story. The plot of this movie, Alana Hickman, a diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan, and her family are competing to win the team's Fan of the Year contest in a process that is judged by the director of fan engagement, Derek. As we told you guys, this movie has a 6.5 on IMDb, less than 1,000 views, so this movie hasn't been out that long. We obviously don't have any box office information, Rob. We usually would have box office information, but this movie was not released in the box office. This movie was only released on the Hallmark Channel. I can't think of too many Hallmark movies that I've seen before, but I definitely can understand how someone could be a fan of these movies. This movie was less than 90 minutes. It makes you feel good. There's very little conflict, and it wraps up. The guy gets the girl. The girl wins in the end. Everybody goes home happy. I understand how this formula has worked thousands of times.
No doubt. And the one thing I realized, whether it was even just kind of the one day being part of it or at the premiere, and then seeing there were crowds of people outside the premiere, just so it was downtown at the Sheridan, and they had like an area that you had to have a pass to get into, but then they had kind of the open courtyard, if you will, where other people had passes, just like fans, and people know like the main actor from Tyler, who does a bunch of these Hallmark movies. And so like there's definitely a huge group of people that are just fans of these type of movies. And it was your typical Hallmark movie, right? Like, feel, as you said, a feel good movie that isn't going to have much conflict. And I think if you're from Kansas City, I'll be honest, I don't know how you don't like the movie if you're from Kansas City, even if you're the most anti Hallmark movie person ever. If you're from KC or a Chiefs fan, this is an automatic like, in my opinion.
So I've actually seen a couple of these Hallmark movies because my wife, around Christmas time, likes to watch a Christmas movie almost every night. So sometimes I go to the basement, watch something else. But sometimes I'm like, all right, we can watch this. I saw a Lindsay Lohan one last year where she was like an heiress to a Colorado ski. It, They're all the same.
She's having a great run right now, Lindsay Lohan, by the way. Yeah. Can we at least acknowledge right now?
She's back.
She's like Kurt Warner for the Cardinals right now. She's returned. Yeah. Fantastic run.
But like, they all follow the same formula. It's we get introduced to the girl. We get introduced to the most mild friction point between the girl and the guy. Mild might even be aggressive. The guy and girl work it out, and they have a happy ending moment, and it always ends on Christmas Day. It's never like, and then we got together on the 27th. No. The 25th is always happily ever after. It does not matter that New Year's is coming. It does not matter that there's still 12 months of... No. The 25th is always happy day. And this movie, before it started, my wife was like, what do you think the friction point is going to be? That the guy doesn't like the Chiefs? I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. And guess what? It was basically that. And then on Christmas Day, boom, happiness.
Let me give you guys the cast of this movie. Hunter King is Alana Higman. Tyler Hines, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He is Derek Taylor. Ed Begley Jr., he is Paul Higman. To me, he was by far and away the best actor in this movie. Grandpa, his scenes were great. I liked Ed Begley enough. Megan Price, she was Leah. Diedrich Bader, he was Hank. Norma Young is Christine Ebersole. Richard Reel, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He was Nicholas Young. Donna Kelsey is also in here. A lot of cool
cameos.
A lot of cameos in this movie. So the point that you just made before we get to kind of describing the plot of this movie is, I think if you live where we live, I understand if this doesn't hit you anymore if you live in New York or LA. So many movies are set there. The fact that a movie was set where we live and we've been countless times before was really cool because there aren't many movies like this. Like when they were inside the team facility, I know fans don't get to go there, but it's like, oh, I've been there before, or, oh, we've had our Christmas party at this place before. So that was really cool that it felt so familiar, because that is just not an experience that you get if you live in Kansas City.
Yeah, it was a big deal, you know, whether it was the actual movie scenes, as you point out, where you see Kansas City, or just the thought that Kansas City, once again, for me, you know, to see it front and center, we're all from here. So add this to the long list of things here in recent history, whether it was the NFL draft, whether it's going to be the World Cup, whether it's this movie. I mean, there's been so many things where more and more, and the Chiefs are a big reason for it, obviously, where Kansas City's just front and center. And so, you know, there were plenty of people, I'm sure, that you mentioned New York, and maybe you don't, you know, care as much about it, but plenty of people were, maybe their wives care about a Hallmark movie, and once again, they're seeing Kansas City, and I just think that aspect of it was really, really cool, and it makes sense, right? Hallmark is in Kansas City, right? It makes sense that if Hallmark, honestly, it's kind of crazy it took this long for Hallmark to have a movie in Kansas City, considering their history and the Hall family and everything here.
Maybe this makes me a cynic, and that's fine. I'll be a cynic.
Wow, he gonna be hating on the Hallmark
movie? Let me hear this.
I thought it was very cool, but I felt like as someone who's in Kansas City and knows all the stuff, I kind of went into the movie thinking it'd be like a backdrop, and it'd be like there are some like Kansas City dashings of like, oh, they make reference to this, or it's a Chiefs back. It was, the whole plot is Kansas City, and it punches you in the face for 90 minutes, basically, which is fine.
I like that, though.
I can see how, and the whole time I was thinking about this, if you were one of those internet people that hate the Chiefs, this only adds fuel to your fire, because it's not a Chiefs backdrop to a Hallmark story. It's a Chiefs story that Hallmark is doing, which I think is a different distinction.
Yeah, but where I think, though, where I just would tell you to watch a different Hallmark movie, Hallmark's going to make 40 of these for the season.
Exactly.
So maybe Chiefs love story is not yours. You just need to watch a regular Lacey Cuthbert movie.
This is their big release. This is like last year, that Lindsay Lohan one was their big release. This year, this is the one, like, if you Google, it's like we watched, I have a Fire Stick. You type in Hallmark movies, it's the top result.
It was. And so it was on Peacock for like 72 hours. They have a deal with Hallmark where any new Hallmark movie gets to go on Peacock for 72 hours and then it's off. And now it's only on, you know, Hallmark Plus, where it'll probably be on another 7 times throughout the Christmas season and everything. And then it'll be a part of their rotation. But they had a Q&A after at the premiere, and they mentioned this was their biggest undertaking ever. For any, like, even the one with Lindsay Lohan, considering the partnership and the amount of cameos, this was their biggest project they've ever done. And they just talked about, like, the feedback in Kansas City was so different than anywhere else they've shot a movie. You know, that there were people, they said, tailgating on set. Like, and we know Chiefs games tailgating, but people were actually on set, whether they were in Independence or anywhere, Crown Center, wherever else they were shooting the movie in the summertime, that people were out there tailgating. The cast raved about Kansas City. One of the actresses, and I can't remember, I'm escaping which one, she mentioned that for that month or whatever, they basically rented a house near the Nelson Atkins Art Museum. And like, she got to know her neighbors, and they all knew why she was in town. Like, just you could see that why people like Kansas City and the connection. They, it seemed like everybody enjoyed their time.
Could you guys date Alana? Let's get that question out of the way before we start.
Some of my friends text me like, she's crazy. That was a text. I literally got a text specifically. That girl in the movie is crazy. That was a specific text that I got from a few friends.
I mean, I got that feeling multiple times. I mean, when they first have their awkward interaction where he does not believe in the power of the hat,
and she basically
quietly kicks him out of the place. Hey, it's time for you to go. She didn't say get out, but she quietly kicks him out. I was like, yeah, she's crazy. I'm done with Alana.
I would not date Alana, but I also feel like this is actually kind of like a weird, like, because of what we do moment. That's the early scenes we get in the plot here, where they're at the facility and Tyler's boss basically tells him, remember the golden rule, don't tell you who you work for, and they all chuckle. I kind of felt that when he was at the store and she was like, this is our magic hat. Our family is all, there was a moment where I'm like, if I was talking to this girl, I would not tell her what I do because I'm on the fringe of the Chiefs and that would become a problem in my life. This guy, yeah, she's crazy and she's crazy for your employer. That's a wild, wild ride.
This is how I always joke. Like, I don't hate KU fans. I hate KU fan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This girl was a Chiefs fan. I don't know if I could put up living with a fan of a team.
It's weird.
They had
like,
a special with their pillow. They had to turn the pillow a certain way.
They watched at their store.
I just want to watch the game. I'm not here to do all this nonsense.
It's weird that we've talked even on like our show when we've talked about dating life and stuff. And people, I think, assume that like I want to date the most hardcore sports fan. Not true.
I want to date somebody who's the opposite.
Not true. No, exactly. You also can't hate sports because like that's not going to work either, right? I don't want you to be like completely obsessed. I actually like the break. Like that's part of the thing. We all can relate to this. Like you like having that break occasionally, mm-hmm. even though it's awesome that what we get to do for a living talking sports, but you also enjoy stepping back for a second. The only thing I'll push back on with like, hey, the weird superstition, I think that's also what made the movie relatable for a lot of people is because whether it's you yourself, we all know somebody that is superstitious in some regard with their football team, whether it's a hat, whether it's wearing a certain jersey, whatever, like whether you're a Chiefs fan or not, that's one thing. If you're a sports fan, and you were watching from anywhere in the country and you watch the movie and you're saying, oh, I know that my grandpa did that or whatever with the you could use the Knicks as the team instead of the Chiefs. Like I think everybody could relate to that. Like there are a lot of family memories are tied into going to sporting events. And for me, a lot of my family memories are tied into going to Chiefs games. So that was really relatable for me.
Our movie begins with Alana and her family, a group of lifelong Kansas City Chiefs fans who have really bonded through a love of football. This family also runs a Chiefs fan store in Independence Square. They also run a barbecue restaurant around the corner called Norma and Nick's. This barbecue restaurant is a little too neat for me. I need my barbecue to be a little messier than that. I need a little bit more conflict. This place looked like a deli.
You wanted them yelling.
Yeah, this didn't feel like I need a big tease. I need a LCs.
Can I peel back the curtain on that?
Yeah, I need Norma Nick's is not a barbecue restaurant that I would attend, Rob Britton. It's not a place I would go to.
So I'll peel back the curtain. This was, as you guys know, they obviously changed the storefront names like any movie. That was or is in real life in Independence. It's a pizza place. So that if you
that
look at the
makes sense makes,
if you look
place.
At the kitchen, if you look at the setup, it's actually I think it's Square Pizza. I could be wrong. I think it's called Square Pizza.
Also had that weird like checker red and white thing.
It's because it's a pizza place.
Pizza places.
Yeah.
I will say about the barbecue store. One thing I noticed. Norma and Nick, for someone that own it, very rarely there. They're part-time owners. I've never, like, can you imagine if you met the guy who owns Joe's Cancer? You're like, hey, what do you do today? Well, I never go to my store, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm never here. So our family is up for Chiefs Fan of the Year, along with two other contestants, the Van Ripper family with their amazing Christmas light display, and also the Robinson family and Catrick Mahomes. The office suggests that Derek, a newbie in town who works with the Chiefs Fan Engagement Department, that he should stop by Norma and Nick's because he's never had Kansas City barbecue before. Now, I am not saying that you need to be as well-versed in Kansas City the way that we three are. Mm-hmm. You know, three people. He didn't for somebody who had done this. This is late in the season. You got to think this is in December. How have you taken the job as the fan engagement director and you have never had Kansas City barbecue before? You haven't gone to a place. It hasn't been catered. You didn't eat at a training camp. What do you do in your free time, Derek?
Well, apparently, remember there's that one throwaway scene where the other coworker is like, what do you do? Just come here, go home, and sleep? They're trying to paint him as a workaholic. Like, I think that's kind of their point is like, look, he does, and like they even say like, well, your office feels like the Temps.
Why is he not engaging with fans?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it was more holes. Yeah, I think it was more they're trying to set up like that. He just doesn't go out, right? And so like there, this was they want him to go out and meet somebody.
You're
and go and do things.
Nice looking single guy with access to Chiefs tickets.
I know.
He'd be mowing them down in Kansas City. He would be mowing them down. I did like the way that they used Donna Kelsey here, where she was in the movie,
but not in the movie.
They didn't beat you over the head with Donna Kelsey was in it. She made a couple of nice cameos, a couple of nice appearances. It was cool every time she was on screen. I liked the way they utilized Donna Kelsey.
Yeah, I think she was in technically two scenes maybe. The day actually is funny. The day that I happened to be in Independence filming, I wasn't in the restaurant. I didn't get to be part of that scene in the backdrop sitting. We were outside. But that was the day that I was there as well. And she was in and out pretty quick. Like that scene took the longest during the day that I was there, because if you watch the movie, you know that scene had a little bit more dialogue than some of the others. But yeah, I think they didn't overdo it in terms of the cameo with her. This is the sports thing for me probably coming out. I don't know if you guys noticed. If you're a sports fan, and this goes back to where most people probably wouldn't have noticed. It was funny when they were talking about the Chiefs games itself. You know, they were playing the clip of the Sunday night Green Bay game.
Yeah.
Chiefs and Packers. I don't know if you guys picked up on this. And they're like, one of the characters is like, we were 14-point favorites. And in my mind, this is, I'm the only person in the moment, I'm sure. I'm like, no, they weren't. He's like, no, they weren't 14-point favorites. I'm like, I think they were like 4.5-point favorites. Nobody else cares but me. But that was like, that drove me crazy in the moment.
I was actually thinking when this was Thursday night football, it was NBA. And I'm like, this game will be on Amazon. I don't know if that's what I had that.
And then, situation. Of course, like the wild card thing, right? Like, they even joked during the Q&A. They even joked, they're like, you guys are too good. They're like, you guys are supposed to be a wild card team right now in real life, because in the movie, they obviously frame it as like they're trying to get that wild card spot.
By the way, I will say to that, the football point, at one point when they showed Donna Kelsey, and then later in the movie, they're like, we have to win the Christmas Day game against the Eagles. I'm like, oh God, we're going to get Jason and Travis too. Here we go. We know what the end cameo is going
to
be.
Travis's rate's a little too high, I think, to get in the Hallmark movie nowadays.
Your mom's in the movie. You could have made a little
I was
stop.
Wondering if they were going to be at the premiere, but I'm like, you know what? You're going to support your mom, but I guess they probably just watched it at home or whatever. Some of the Chiefs players did make it out to that. Trey Smith was there.
Yeah, he was in
Clyde.
It.
The movie, yeah. Well, no, I mean, but
Clyde
like,
was in
Clyde,
it. I mean,
Clyde was in it. Trey was in it. They made it to the premiere. Like, McColl didn't go. I'm trying to think. Hunter Norzad was at the premiere.
I wouldn't recognize
Chiefs
him in the lineup.
Offensive lineman.
I've never heard of that man.
He's a backup offensive guard.
He obviously can't block if he can't help this team at left or right tackle.
He's not a tackle.
He can't obviously help this team. So the family awkwardly tries to set up their granddaughter Alana with Derek, and it kind of works as the two spend the day setting up the neighborhood Light the Block event. As the day goes on, the family tells Derek about their family tradition. They have a magical Chiefs hat that you can only wear the hat on Christmas Day, or the Chiefs won't win the Super Bowl. Derek is naturally skeptical about this, and the family's not feeling him, politely kicking him out of the store. Derek had the exact reaction that I would have had in that scenario. Wait, you guys actually think that this hat is the reason that the Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl? You cannot think this. Derek had a normal reaction to how ridiculous their claim was.
He did, but you know what, man? There's people watching right now that are saying, you know what? For the Super Bowl the last couple of years, they've all sat in the same spot. Like, I can even tell you now, I haven't been at home to watch them recently. We've been fortunate enough to go. But I know I have family members for the watch party they've been doing. They all have a spot. And they're like, hey, if you don't go this year and the Chiefs are in it, like, they're like, I don't know where you're sitting. That was literally a conversation we just had. So I think people do, like, believe in that kind of stuff for sure.
Dude, it's... superstitious people are crazy. I don't believe in it, and I get why the Tyler character is like, you guys really believe in this? But the fact the whole family, who then later in the movie was like, who cares, ho-hum, like that was what drove me insane. Like, if you're going to be this superstitious family, do it throughout. The last scene of the movie, they're like, we don't need the hat. You're like, what? You guys threw Derek out of a store about a hat.
Yeah, they were very serious about the hat until the hat was lost, then the hat didn't matter anymore. The following day at work, Derek gets the assignment that he is going to follow the Hickman family around for the Chiefs Fan of the Year award. Well, he fails an impromptu quiz about Lynn Dawson after a visit to the family man cave, which upsets Alana, who questions his fandom and love of the team. Well, the team wants to do a special report on the Hickman family and their connection to the team and also Christmas in anticipation of their Christmas Day game against the Eagles. Alana is starting to have feelings for Derek and vice versa, but she's a little hesitant given her dating track record. Derek has to go visit the Van Ripper family Christmas display for work and afterwards decides to take a walk. While on the walk, he runs into the family and stops by for a cup of eggnog by the fireplace. Thing between he and Alana are starting to heat up with a little hand-holding situation.
That's right.
And this is maybe the Kansas City showing in me. And like, so if someone did a podcast about this movie in Bend, Oregon, yeah, they wouldn't care. In my head, I'm like, you rode with your boss from Arrowhead to this person's house. Look at this Christmas light display. And then she goes, you want to ride home? And he goes, nah, I'm going to walk. Where do you live in the city? Like, if someone was like, it works, like, hey, I'm going to take you out to, you know, the Northland. You're going to look at this, you know, Christmas light display. I would be like, all right, cool, I'm going to walk. I live in Overland Park. I'm not walking anywhere. What the? Right. And then he's like, oh, it just so happens you guys live down the street. I was like, again, no one else knows that, but I'm like, he's an independent. He doesn't live there. Where is he walking
These
to?
These are the kind of things in a Hallmark movie you just gotta let not bug you, because, you know, ultimately this is going to happen. I mean, every single one of these has it.
Where do you think Derek lived? Where do you think Alana lived?
Alana lived in Independence. There's just no way around it. Because based on the
close
movie,
with her family, so
close to her family, she's okay. Always at her grandparents' house or her mom and dad's house. She has the store in Independence. She is a integral part of the Christmas light display in Independence. Yeah. She's too plugged into the Independence community to be like, and I live in Lee Summit. Like, this makes sense.
I could maybe see her living in Blue Springs though. I could see her living in Blue Springs and making the 15-minute drive to work, but I'm with you. She probably more than likely lives in Independence.
I think Tyler, based on him, what we discussed earlier, where he's like, he hadn't had any barbecue, hadn't gone out anywhere. I don't think he's definitely not living on the plaza or anything. I think it's like he's Parkville or something.
Oh, wow.
I think based on the fact they're trying to make him the workaholic guy, whatever the closest neighborhood to Arrowhead is, that's probably where he works. He's probably
you think living in Raytown.
He's probably got a nice. What's that? Remember in Hard Knocks a while ago when Gonzalez had that apartment like in like Independence, but it was like down the highway a little bit from Arrowhead, but you could see Arrowhead. He probably got a nice apartment there. That's where I think he lives.
What high school do you think Alana graduated from?
Truman. Just gonna lean into the Independence.
Yeah, I mean, if we're saying she lives in Independence, that's a good guess. Otherwise,
Chrisman. She has Chrisman.
Oh, William Chrisman.
You think her parents who own a corner Chiefs store were like, hey, you're going to go to Scion? They didn't have that kind of money.
How about Fort Osage? Is it possible she graduated from Fort Osage?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, there's no way she went to a private school, though.
No, I think it's got to be Truman or Chrisman are probably the...
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was curious to know.
Yeah.
So Derek takes Alana to Arrowhead for a work function, and she gets to see the stadium at night completely empty, and we continue to learn more about her family's history with the team. In the midst of all this storytelling, the two share their first kiss. As someone who has seen Arrowhead at night, it is really cool. And if you're a super fan of the team and you've never seen it before, I could understand how you walk into Arrowhead or you walk into Allen Fieldhouse and you're used to hearing it loud and, you know, you get to go in there and it is completely quiet and you get to just see
how
expansive it is. I can see how that's a romantic. You're sitting in your seat.
Oh,
it's so important to you.
It would
be really cool. That was a smooth move by Derek.
That would be a really cool thing to have. I mean, heck, we even had a company party. We weren't out in the stands, but we were in the penthouse area, 2 years ago, and they had it all lit up. And that was just cool looking out the window. This in a romantic setting out there was funny. The only thing that I was, and this is really nitpicking, but did you notice when they walked out from the concourse to this 300 level in the seats, why weren't they at the 50-yard line? Why were they at the 20?
Did he take her to their seats?
Okay, you're right.
I also want to know how
Overton.
It was her family's seats.
I also want to know how,
of all places, in the stadium.
He goes, where were your seats? That's true. Okay. Yeah.
By the way, real quick, I thought two things about this scene. One, you have carte blanche right now. You work for the team. There's a big party at Arrowhead, and your big move is take her to her own seats. You're not going to take her to the club level. You're not going to take her to that downstairs. You're like, hey, let me show you where
where her family sat. You know?
Second, the scene before this, her whole family was like, she's like, you should go to Arrowhead. And they're like, no, you need to go. And I'm like, if you guys have season tickets, why are you acting like going to Arrowhead is a big deal? You're there weekly.
But I think it was she wanted them to experience the sideline passes or whatever. Yeah, and
I guess.
But you're right. Yes, it was.
They act like going to Arrowhead's like a massive deal. And I'm like, you guys go weekly. You have season tickets. Like, like,
yeah, but they got, she got to go to the, like, the penthouse, and she got to see some, she got to meet Trey Smith, you know?
They win. They are the fans of the year. At a Chiefs function, Alana loses the hat and is panicked, but is calmed down by Derek, who tells her that the hat will turn up. This message is also relayed by her family. I'm with you. This is a Hallmark movie. You can't look too deep into it. Where did the hat go? Like, did someone steal
the
hat?
Santa took it, man. Santa had it, Santa had it the whole time.
You think that Santa... So Santa is a thief, is what you're saying.
I think Santa was trying to prove, like, you know... Because early in the movie, they show the flashback to Santa.
It's the same
and then
Santa.
And then we can get to the eventually in a second what happened at the very end of the movie. But, like, I think, yeah, Santa had it the whole time. It was to try to, like, prove a point that, you know, ultimately
and this
it's
is,
not
this
the
is
hat.
Part of the Hallmark movie formula. They're showing the match for Christmas by... Santa took it, and then Santa at the end brings it back. I know we're skipping to the end there.
Yeah.
Santa shows them the power
we're
of togetherness.
For anybody.
I'm going to say, I was trying to, I didn't know what you guys normally do on the podcast. Shout out River Market getting some airtime.
Okay,
there.
I'm with you. There's some movies we wouldn't spoil. No one is listening to this podcast that has not already seen the
That's
movie.
Fair.
You've seen the movie already. Derek wins Boyfriend of the Year by gifting the family their original seats from the old Memorial Stadium. This was the best scene in the movie, and you could, this is where I like the grandpa had some of the best scenes in there. Like, he really made you believe that those are his actual seats. He was crying, he hugged them and was saying, this is where your grandmother sat. That was a good scene.
Ed Begley Jr., I mean, also, we've all seen him in so many different movies. He's a great actor.
He pops up in a lot of stuff.
I mean, he's a great actor, so you can, I mean, that's not surprising. That I think if you're going through it, truly the best acting performance in the movie, I'm 100% with you. It was him, and I'm probably not that surprised if you consider what he's done throughout his career.
You could make the argument that he's the main character, because every time something, I know he's not like the main character, but he's like the driving force of the movie. His, you know, relationship with his now deceased wife, his connection to the Chiefs, his I liked sitting here, I sat here. Like, he as the grandfather was the driving force this whole movie. So, like, and even at the end, he's the one that kind of like, hey, I kept the seat for your grandma in this on our row all the time. Like, it, Ed Begley Jr. is kind of the driving force of the movie.
He called Kansas City in the panel after the movie. He called Kansas City a food destination. He's a vegetarian, though, I guess. But he said he loved the food here. I don't know where he went if he was a vegetarian.
Well, you could probably get vegetarian tacos. You could probably
Kansas
make it
City
work.
Kansas City is a it's very a great, food great food city.
But he really was he loved it. He said he absolutely loved it.
Yeah, that is crazy, because I'm trying to think, would you love Kansas City's food if you don't eat meat? Because it's not even just barbecue. There's like four or five really great places to get a steak, too. Interesting. So we are closing in on Christmas Day. We're getting closer to the game, and the hat still hasn't popped up. Our lovely couple gets into a very small argument where Derek once again questions the powers of the hat, which has Lana questioning just about everything. Without the hat, does life even have meaning?
Alana, I love how after this scene, she's like, I just said all those mean things to him. He's probably done me forever. You asked if he's even a Chiefs fan. Like, that's the big, are you even a Chiefs fan? Do you care about the hat? No, I've been very open about the hat from the jump.
But you know how it is. Women want you to care about something that's really important to them. And if there's one thing that she loves, it's the belief in that hat and what she felt like it represented for her family. So I understand her being a little uptight about it. But I thought she kind of set it up in the beginning. Hey, everybody doesn't feel the same way that I feel about things. Like, it is impossible for you, who I just met earlier this month, it is impossible for you to love this hat the way that I do. It's been in my family now for 40 years. So Alana is questioning it, whether or not she even wants to be down on the field with the team because of her losing the hat, because she feels the city is going to turn on her. Derek and the rest of the family finally convince her to go down here, where she gets a surprise. Everyone in the stadium is gifted a replica special hat, and the tradition is going to live out through the Chiefs' kingdom. The movie ends with Santa giving back the original hat and Derek sitting in the stands with the family in a ticket that Grandpa never sold because he was waiting for someone worthy to fill those seats.
How about that? How about that, Hallmark? How about that writing?
This is where I say the formula really works. The way that the movie wraps up with Santa handing him the hat, they set up. We've got an extra ticket. Nobody ever sits there. And then he tells you why that seat has been empty for as long as it's been. I got to give this Hallmark. That was well written.
It was. It was very well written. Turns out, too, the writer of the movie is actually a San Francisco 49ers fan. That was a cool thing we learned during the Q&A. She's a 49ers fan. She started writing the movie 3 days after the Chiefs had just beaten the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So she was like, it was really tough. Everybody was laughing and stuff. But yeah, she's a diehard 49ers fan. And imagine having to write a script 3 days after your team you love just lost in the Super Bowl, and now you're writing a Chiefs movie. But the writing for Hallmark, it was perfect.
Honestly, the most impressive thing you told me is think about the time that they they wrote the movie, shot the movie, cut the movie, edited, and showcased. They did this basically in 10 months. You know how hard it is to make
really,
a movie?
Really impressive.
I imagine the writer has written other Hallmark movies.
For sure.
Yes,
she has.
It's part of that tried and true formula I have. Hallmark knows if we get it written in February and we get it shot in July, we can have it done because they're trying to pump out as many of these as they can. Again, they have the one big one every year, and this is that. But they have smaller releases. They try to pump out as much Christmas as they can. Because that is their key demographic. It's like the radio station in Kansas City that starts playing Christmas music like at Halloween. Yeah. They do that not because like, oh, it's great content. They know that their audience loves that. Hallmark knows. Check a box here, get it written by here, get it shot by here, it's produced and done by here, and it's going to do great on our network. It is part of their formula. It's just what they do year-round. Like, does Hallmark release July movies? Probably not.
No, they joke. They're like, when are we going to actually shoot a Christmas movie, you know, in the wintertime? But that's what they have to do. And then the other part of it, too, was the way this movie started to begin with. There, I don't know if you guys know, like a year or two ago, there was like a mini movie, a short, basically, with the main actor, Tyler, and kind of tying in with Hallmark. And then he did that kind of on his own, and then Hallmark saw it, and they're like, well, maybe we got something here, and then that's how it expanded into a full movie.
Yeah, I can see him being very popular in this circuit. He was a good actor, nice-looking guy, smooth enough, feels like he could play multiple roles. I could understand how, and it seems to me kind of like, I know, on a much bigger scale, Rob, we talk about the Marvel Universe. Like, once you get in the Marvel Universe, you're set. Once you get in the Hallmark Universe, you're set. I could see him doing about 5-6 more of these.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember how many he's done already.
I don't know. I can look it up. But like,
he's very, very popular. I mean, it was people on set were like fans that were watching. They were constantly trying to get selfies with him. Like he was the guy that everybody knew fan wise. That were like people were just standing on the corner tailgating in Independence Square. And they're like that's who they were like going crazy for, all the women that were lined up.
So, I'm looking at he did another TV movie this year called Three Wiser Men and a Boy. That one's definitely a Christmas movie on Hallmark. Last year he did Never Been Chris, which is a Hallmark Christmas movie. Time to Come Home for Christmas, which is a Hallmark.
Oh, my man's raking it.
Three Wise Men and a Baby, which guess what? An Unexpected Christmas, like
this
he is
June and July booked and busy.
This guy is Denzel with Hallmark movies. Good Lord, he's in all of them.
It's very fitting. I mean, I would put this movie up there with Training Day and Casablanca, Citizen Kane. It's right there.
It's basically Shawshank.
Yeah, yeah.
We normally would do what this movie got right, what this movie got wrong. I don't know if that's really necessary. I also don't really want to re-rank this movie. We are not in the demographic of this movie. I am with you, Alex. I would advise a football fan, and I also think this is a movie that if you are from Kansas City, because of how long it is, just watch this with your lady.
It's an easy one.
Put this on at 7 o'clock. By 8:30, you can do whatever you want to do. Just sit there, snuggle up, get the blanket, get the popcorn, get some hot cocoa, and maybe this enters your Christmas rotation of movies you watch every winter.
Right, yeah, this is way too easy of a one to, like, you shouldn't be pushing back or fighting over this one. This is way too easy, and I think, you know, whether people want to admit it or not, this is one of those where, like, if you've never watched a Hallmark movie, I think you're like, you know what, okay, that's all right, you feel good after it, and it's really cool to see Kansas City. There's like even some KC like Easter eggs and some old memorabilia, and then obviously cameos from the mayor. You see Crown Center. Like there's a lot of, if you're from here, you can appreciate all of that, and that's what's really cool.
Alex, man, we look forward to giving you a real movie to watch at some point. I don't know what movie you want to do or not.
No, this was a real movie, guys. I don't know what you guys are talking about. This was a real movie.
Tyler's character, he racks up money on these movies, so it's real.
You know what? We'll bring you back for a box office release movie. That's a better way of saying it. We'll bring you back. Next week's movie is going to be Bad Santa 2. Rob is going to chime in at some point this month for Jingle All the Way. He specifically requested Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way, I can already tell you right now, is rated too low. That's an incredible film.
We will watch Jingle All the Way. Alex, man, thanks a lot for hopping on with us today. This is another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie, where usually the only rule is we must watch a movie rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. But you know what? For this movie, we'll make an exception. We'll catch you guys on Tuesday.